Okay, I'm gonna apologize one more time for the air conditioners messing up this morning. About 10 tons is missing, and you can notice it in here. I don't know what advice I can give you. I have been told, and this sort of does make sense. I see folks doing this. They say that you don't gain by that. They say it takes as much energy to do it as the cooling effect from it. But if it makes you feel better, just go ahead and do it. I tell you what, I don't know what else to do about it. In the old days, you could open the church windows and pass out fans on a stick, but not anymore. We got so modern. That's what I've been saying about the computer age for a long time. When it breaks down, what's going to happen? I read a Captain Marvel comic book probably when I was 9 years old. Anybody remember Captain Marvel? Shazam, right? I read in that book where that the world had gotten so sophisticated and depended so much on machines into the future that when the machines broke down, there was nobody alive that knew how to repair them. That's been a long time ago. I still think that's a possibility. And of course we didn't, Captain Marvel fixed it, but we don't have him around that I know of anyway. But we'll do the best we can today. Open your Bibles to John chapter 9. We're still in chapter 9 of the Gospel according to John as we go verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And we started off in the chapter, of course, where the Lord Jesus healed the blind man. And of course, he did it on the Sabbath day. So the religious crowd was very much against him and criticized him. What you have a lot of in the book of John, and really in all the Gospels, but to a great degree in the book of John, you have a dialogue going between the religious crowd, the Pharisees mainly, trying to trip up and contradict and find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't want to believe he was God, that he was sent from God. They wanted to attack him every kind of way, and that's what we're going through. So they attacked his miracles. They tried to not only explain them away, but all they could. You still see this today. You know what's so terrible in our political world today is that it's not really the truth. It's just whatever they make it to be. I may say something about this later because it just bugged the fire out of me. Kavanaugh, the guy that's wanting to, that the president appointed to be on Supreme Court, they're attacking him to the place they're going back now to when he was 17 years old in high school. And some girl claimed that he mistreated her, not claiming any really sexual contact. And but she won't give her name. See, he says no, didn't happen. Back when he was a boy, 17 years old in school, that's reaching on back. Now, if he gets by this, they'll go back to when he was in the church nursery and bit the other baby. That's about what they'll do. That's just how stupid it has gotten in this world today. Truth don't matter anymore. It's just what they can push off on a gullible herd mentality. I call them mobs. It's really about really what. All right, you got me off on that. I could see a look out there wanting me to say that, so I went ahead and done it. All right, not really. John chapter 9, the story of the blind man. The Lord, I talked to you last week about, and we answered somewhat the question, or gave a answer, for why did the Lord make clay? He spit, as it were, in the dirt and the mud, and he made a clay and put it on the blind man's eyes. And that seemed unusual, because sometimes he healed without doing that, and sometimes he did. One time he spit on the man, put it on the man's tongue. So the question, why? And we come up with the thought that when God created Adam, he probably done the same thing. The old Jewish rabbis believe he didn't only make Adam out of dust, but that he wet the dust. And oftentimes you hear about Adam being made out of clay and about us going back to dust. And interesting thing, they say that if you analyze a human body when it decomposes and finally becomes nothing but dust, that scientifically, if you analyze it, it's got the same 14 elements in it that the dust of the ground has. The Bible's always true, folks. Amen. Once in a while, science catches up with it a little bit, is about what it really amounts to. But anyway, we pose the question that God was putting some of himself, not only in Adam, but if you think about it, we're told that when we get saved, that Christ lives within us, that he's formed within us. He's in us, the hope of glory, the scripture says. And we're told when we get born again, we become new creatures in Christ. So there's a real sense as we look at this that I think it's a pretty reasonable answer that in a sense, when you get born again, you pick up, I'm going to use a word that's common today, and you hear it all the time, and that's the word DNA, right? And of course, law enforcement has succeeded in solving a lot of crimes because of being able to test DNA. I heard about a fellow broke in a woman's house and made her cook a meal for him and all that, but she was smarter than he thought she was. So she offered him a toothpick after the meal, and he took it. And later, when the police wanted to catch him, they took his DNA off the toothpick and caught him. That's really something, all right. But in a sense, Jesus put some of his DNA in the blind man when he spit and made the clay and put it on his eyes. And that's one way to think about it. Oh, I preached a long time ago, sometimes on Sunday night. I have gotten a little bit wild. It's been years. I've calmed down a lot. Somebody said the preacher has mellowed. I thought that's pretty good until I looked up the word. The word means almost rotten. Now I'm playing with you a little bit. But I was preaching pretty wild, I reckon, one night, and I was coming along some of this line that I just talked to you about. Just theoretically, maybe God put some of himself in the blind man here. You ever think about it? I can't tell you how this works. But somewhere up here in the air, I'm just grabbing a handful of air. I can't see it. But there's all kind of voices in that air. And if you got a cell phone, I hope you turned it off before you come in church, you can push the right buttons and pull those voices out of that air. Now, I can't explain that to you. Now, some of you got some, you've studied some, and maybe you can do that, okay. Interesting thing is pushing the right buttons gets the right person, because there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of people out there in that that you can reach, right? If you dial their number. Do you ever think about it? When the rapture takes place, the trumpet sounds, God's not calling everybody to him. He's calling certain ones that's got his, as it were, DNA within them. Those that have been born again. Those that have a connection to him. And going to leave others and call the saved, right? Amen. And so, I don't know. You know, when Paul was on in Acts chapter 9, when he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord Jesus spoke to him, Paul understood what Jesus said. The rest of them were afraid and they heard a noise, but they didn't understand what Paul understood. And when the Lord calls you and I, we're going to understand what our neighbors may not understand. They may know something happened. I think they will. They may even hear a noise, but bless God, he knows my name. I'm going to get a call directly from him right out of the air. Amen. That's what we say about the rapture, and that's accurate enough. There's things in nature that you see that identify what the Lord is going to do one day. I remember my brother and I, when we were just little boys, started off raising bantam chickens. You know what they are? They're almost not much bigger than a pigeon, and they'd fly just about like one if you don't clip their wings. But we raised them and hatched eggs, and that flock grew, and we took care of them, and we named them, all that sort of stuff. And Grandma would make us mad when she'd slip around and catch one of them and eat him, because we made pets out of them. And my brother, he's 80 years old now. He's over in a nursing home. I'm going to tell you the truth on him. Since he was in the second grade, he has never eaten knowingly a piece of chicken. Couldn't be a Baptist preacher. Now, I'm joking some. Never has. Say, why? Because he considered them pets and friends. He said, you wouldn't eat your puppy dog, would you? He's not going to eat chicken. Never has. And we learned something, though, from chickens. Not only is there a pecking order. You know what I'm talking about? We learned some other things. I watched it more than one time. The mother hen could hatch out a bunch of eggs, maybe have a dozen or more. We called them little bitties, little chicks. They're really pretty. Then they hit the teenage years when they're ugly, but then they pretty up again after that. But I joke that at the kids sometime. But that mother hen could have a dozen or more, 20 little bitties following her around. And they'd scatter out, and there might be another mother hen, and she's got so many, and there's another one over here. And you just got a backyard full of chickens. And they're all scattered everywhere. Now, I could not look out there and tell you which little bitty belonged to which hen. But I'll tell you something. When mother hen clucked, when she made the sound, all of hers came to her and the others did not. They would separate. And I noticed that as a kid. Well, when Jesus calls, his are going to separate. When the trumpet sounds and the voice and the archangel and the voice of God, all of that is going to be recognized by who they belong to. And that could happen any day. Amen. And it's going to be a sad thing when loved ones miss loved ones because they were not on what? The same frequency. I guess you could call it a frequency. Yeah. The cell phone picks up out of the clear air, and there's a lot of voices out there, but when you get the right number, you get the right person. And when my number's called, it's going to be the right one. And I'm going to know my Savior. Amen. Here in chapter 9, they're criticizing the Lord. They're trying to find something wrong with the miracle he done in healing this blind man. So it says in verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. Still division today in the world over Jesus. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. He didn't know any better at that point. We're going to find as we keep going through the chapter, he's going to learn better. But the Jews did not believe. Now, this is the ruling religious Jews, Pharisees in particular, of course. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. And they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now, here's the story. Yeah, we know you're seeing now. But maybe you were faking being blind before. Whatever, anything to explain the miracle away is what it amounts to. And they call the parents now. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, whom you say, who was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself." Now you notice the parents passed the buck too, didn't they? "We can't tell you, ask him." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already. And if any man did confess that he was Christ, and see that's the issue, that's the whole issue, is he the Messiah or not? Is he the anointed? Is he Christ? That he should be put out of the synagogue, the threat of excommunication. That is big in folks that are thinking their religion is the only way they're going to make it. There's a lot of folks like that. They think that the church is like a great big boat crossing the ocean, and you get on the boat and everybody goes at one time, and if you get excommunicated or expelled off the boat, you don't make it. That's works religion. That is amazing how folks do that. The Bible is so opposite from that. It says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God." That's personal. No, mama can't get saved for you, and daddy can't get saved for you, and you can't get saved for them. It's personal. It's what you do with Jesus Christ. And a lot of folks have a problem with that. I as a preacher, and even before a preacher, when I would often ask somebody, "Are you a Christian? Have you been saved? Are you going to heaven?" "Well, mama was a good Christian." "Great. Don't do a thing for you." "Daddy was a deacon." "Great. Don't do a thing for you." What about you personally? What's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what counts. But that's what they were doing here. They were afraid they're fixing to get kicked out of the synagogue. And in their teaching, that would be separating them from any hope of what we would call salvation. "Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him." Verse 24, "Then again called they the man that was blind, said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." Boy, a lot of folks assume they know a lot of things. "We know this man is a sinner." They were wrong. He was not. He never committed a sin. They could not convince him of sin when he challenged them to. And they said, "We know." You know, I remember this as a kid. I'd ask questions sometime about something, not religion necessarily, but anything. And did you ever think about this? People would say to me, "Because they say," I always wanted to meet "they." I often said, "Who is they?" And they never introduced me to "they." I got so tired of hearing "they say, they say, they say." How do you know they're right? And the world is full of "they says" right today still. Anonymous quote I said a while ago about the Supreme Court judge and all that kind of stuff. They. You better get to truth. You better get past the human element and get on down there to where the truth is. And so they did the same little trick right here. "We know he's a sinner." "No, you don't." Verse 25, "He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no." Now, I like the blind man. I'm falling into fellowship with him right here. Because he starts giving them the needle. I don't know. I may have lost some reward in heaven because on some occasion I have given folks the needle on purpose. You say, "Why'd you do it?" "Because it felt good." And so I may have lost some reward over that. But that's what he starts doing right here. He just starts giving them back what they've been giving out. You ever notice how folks can't handle what they give out when it's given back to them quite often? And that's what this blind man does right here. He just starts sticking the needle back at them. And so he answered and said, "Whether he's a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Now you've got to understand, he's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the religious robe crowd. He's talking to the high authority of the synagogue. And he's not being quite as respectful as maybe even his parents were. And so he's telling them here, "I know one thing. I don't know what you're saying is true or not. I know one thing, I was blind and now I see." He said, that much is a fact. So he could say that. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already. Still sticking the needle back a little bit. I've told you already. You did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Boy, he stuck it in that time. He put the point to them that time. Give it back to them. You wanting to learn a little more? You seem to be pretty curious. Are you wanting to study after him? He was sticking it to them. Verse 28. Then they reviled him. They got the point. They reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. I can just see them throwing their chest out. And I'm Moses' disciple. And what do they mean by that? They mean we're the law keepers. Now, the Bible says nobody keeps the law. They tried. The book of James said if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. The law is linked together like a chain. Can you imagine a chain between two vehicles? How many links in the chain has to be broke before the chain's broke? Just one. And that's what James said. When you break one of the ten, you broke them all. The chain's broke. And now, why? In the Ten Commandments, yeah. Yeah, there's nobody that's ever lived that's kept the law perfect. Moses couldn't keep it himself. He got mad at the Yankees. Y'all remember that? And isn't that what happened? Y'all ever read that? You never did read that? He had them fussing out there, and the word he used over there was rebels. All right, I'm messing with some of you now just a little bit. But a little conflict going on there in the crowd that was criticizing Moses. But Moses wasn't a law keeper. He lost his temper. God had to bury him on Mount Nebo. Didn't even let him go over into the promised land. Great man that he was. One of the greatest possible outside of Jesus himself. But he failed. All have failed on keeping the law. Nobody can keep it. These Pharisees here boasting that they were the law keepers. They're keeping Moses' law. No, they were not. No, they were not. I remember going round and round one time with they call themselves Seventh-day Adventists, and a lot of them maybe know the gospel pretty good, but there's a works thing in there on keeping the law. And I remember a young lady coming to my church, a young married woman and her husband coming to church. He came with her on a Wednesday night or something, but he wouldn't come to church because he had to worship on Saturday. And she had been a Christian, yet she married into a different faith. And I want to tell you something, you're asking for trouble when you do that. And she had plenty of trouble. He made her stay home on Saturday. She could not go grocery shopping. She could not go outside the house. It was a miserable prison on Saturday, the seventh day. And she asked me if I'd talk to him. And so I went over there and talked to him. And I asked him, I said, you think you're keeping the law? He said, yes, I am. I said, have you thoroughly read the Bible about what keeping the law would mean? Yeah. And you still think you kept it? Yeah. I said, did you crank your car last Saturday? Well, yeah, I did. I said, you broke the law. He said, how'd you break? What do you mean? I said, did you ever look on the hood? If you could see in the motor, when you hit the switch, you kindled a fire under the hood. And you broke the Sabbath. You can't kindle a fire on Saturday. And I picked out two or three other things that was an eye-opener to him. I said, don't kid yourself. You're not keeping the law. And truth of the matter is a whole lot of people think they're doing something when they're not doing it. Now, thank God Jesus come and kept the law for us. So I'm a law keeper in him, but without him, I've broken them. And so have you. And the truth is here, they didn't keep the law. These Pharisees were not keeping the law. They were bragging on keeping Moses' law. No, they didn't. They couldn't do it. And so verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses. And for this fellow, talking about Jesus, we know not from whence he is. And that's the whole issue. No matter what else they raised, the fact was they didn't want to believe Jesus was the Messiah, that he was sent from God. And it didn't matter what he'd done. Now, in another place, Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe for the work's sake. And he pointed out the works. And what was the works that Jesus did? He caused the blind here to see. He caused the crippled to walk. He even raised the dead. And this man here, as he gives him the needle back and argues back a little bit with him, I mean, the argument was, how could anybody do these miracles and not be from God? And that's still what the world has a problem with today. Now, the biggest miracle of Jesus Christ was rising from the dead. And he said it would be. He said it would be the greatest sign. He said, destroy this body, and in 3 days I'll raise it. Destroy this temple, he meant his body. In 3 days he'd raise it again. That's exactly what he did. And the world today, with all their religions, they still can't get over that one. Buddha didn't rise from the dead. Muhammad didn't rise from the dead. All the religious leaders you named didn't rise from the dead. That was the proof that Jesus was who he said he was. Amen. The biggest miracle of all, of course. And so as this man argues back and forth here with the religious crowd, our big argument today is still basically with the religious crowd. I saw some article this week, and I had read it before, so I know it's true. Trying to think, I believe it was a town, and maybe in Pennsylvania, I'm not sure. Pennsylvania, I believe, where the city hall meetings, just like we have here in the city. I go down once in a while and open a meeting down here at the city commission meeting with a word of prayer, and that's the proper thing and right thing to do. And so most town halls do that across America. And I read where this guy, legally now, and got some judge to agree with him, is forcing the town hall to let him come and open in prayer, but he claims to be a Druid and a Satan worshiper. So they fought him a good bit, but finally they caved in and went and let him open the city hall in prayer and pray to the devil in America. That's carrying it too far. He couldn't have done that in the old days. He would never made it out, I don't believe. And the truth is, that's how ridiculous it is. But that's what the issue is. The issue is an attack on the deity of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. And it's stronger all the time. The chaplains in the armies had such a terrible time. Many of them had to retire early because they're stopping people like that filing lawsuits, and I can call one of them's name almost, filing lawsuits. He wanted to get one of the generals, I believe it was, actually a general, that spoke to a religious group here recently, and in speaking, used the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in his prayer and his talk, and so now they're trying to file a suit to get him as a general for doing that. It's the craziest thing in the world. But that's where we're at, folks. It's gotten that bad. And the issue still this, who is Jesus? Isn't it amazing? A Muslim can, and they are letting them, and they've even elected one or two to Congress, and they're letting them pray in the name of Muhammad, and nobody's challenging that. See, Jesus is the one that it's all after. That's where the issue is. It was the issue right here in the text that we're reading. Now, moving on down, verse 30, the man answered and said, he's still giving them the needle now, said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. He said, the facts in front of you, the truth's in front of you, you don't admit it, you don't know where he come from. Verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now let me say this, folks will say this sometime. Well, we know God don't hear sinners. Well, where's your text? Well, here it is right here. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Who said it? The blind man. God didn't say it. Be careful sometime who's speaking when you read the scripture. The blind man said, that's his opinion. That was the opinion of the Pharisees he's arguing with. But the truth is, God does hear sinners. And you remember when Jesus gave the story of the sinner and the publican and the Pharisee coming down to the temple to pray? They're both sinners. Pharisee stood there and bragged on how good he was. But the publican looked down and smote his breast and said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "Which one went down to their house justified?" God does hear sinners. He heard my prayer one day as a sinner. He heard your prayer one day as a sinner. That's the only way you got saved. You admitted you were a sinner. Truth is, that's the qualification for God hearing you, is to admit that you're a sinner. So don't take something out of context. This blind man here is making a statement that he knew the Pharisees agreed with. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man is a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. All right, that's what the Pharisees believed, and he's throwing it right back at them. He's giving them the needle. He's defying them. He's contending with them here and doing a good job with it. It says, "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" Tell you what, he's getting the best of them here. "If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." Boy, he's putting them to shame. They're the learned ones. They're the social high. They're the religious elite. But he's backing them into a corner here. "Then answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out." Well, guess what? He got the best of them, and they threw him out. Still works that way, don't it? Sometime in a debate, if you can't deal with the truth, you attack. If you can't deal with the message, you attack the messenger, right? And that's exactly what they did here with the blind man. That still goes on today. I watch these talking heads on TV. Fox is the only thing I watch, and I don't have a whole lot of time to watch it. But you notice how, when questions are asked, how they learn to dodge. Oh, they learn to dodge. It's a dodging world we live in today, dodging the truth. One day, can you imagine somebody standing before God and they can't dodge the question? They can't change the subject. All right, my time's up.